Translation. The transcendental vibration, Omkar, is a sound form of Supreme Personality of Godhead. All Vedic knowledge and his cosmic manifestation are produced from this sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Prashtatadi Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The transcendental vibration Omkar is the sound form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All Vedic knowledge and this cosmic manifestation are produced from this sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Omkar is a representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in sound. This form of his holy name is accepted as the transcendental vibration Mahavakya, by virtue of which the temporary material manifestation has come into being. If one takes shelter of the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Omkar, he can realize his constitutional identity and engage in devotional service, even though in conditioned life. Vanchakalpatarupasya kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. This is a wonderful, the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When actually I was reading, just actually in the lockdown, I was going through again. And I really enjoyed reading the second time because making actually more understanding the sense. And I was really relishing the pastime. That what a wonderful pastime. We can learn so many things from, anyway, of course, it's Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's there to teach us. And personally, actually, I learned so many things from this pastime. I thought, actually, to recap my memory, to recap actually to understanding actually from my side, I want to just start how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually coming to Jagannath Puri. What made him coming to Jagannath Puri and how he came. So I'll start with that, develop, and then actually I'll come to the point where actually he's talking about today, Omkar. But then actually we talk, what is Omkar? Where is the Omkar actually coming from? And why is necessary to understand that? Because actually here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually dealing with the Mayavadi philosopher. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very strong, staunch, very learned on Vedanta Sutra. This is what actually he reckoned, that he was a very learned professor on Vedanta. So, but he was actually Mayavadi. So that is actually what actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how actually they interact with each other. So I thought it's nice actually I developed myself for my own beneficiary that actually I start from the beginning. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Mother Sachi Mata wanted actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to go so far because he decided to take sannyas. Mm-hmm. And once we take sannyas, then actually they can't stay home. So he has to go out. So he requested Nityananda Prabhu, please, can you arrange that actually don't go too far? If you want to go to Jagannath Puri, that is fine because that is very close. So I have contact, he have a contact, then actually we can know each other what they're doing and what I'm doing. And so please. And somehow or other, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu convinced to go to Jagannath Puri. actually, not that actually he is convinced, but actually the way, the reason he was going to deliver some individual, like here Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he went to actually South India, he went actually so many different individuals, and he, just to deliver actually those individuals, bring them to Krishna consciousness. That's why actually he was traveling. So this year, actually he decided to go. So with him, he decided to take four of his associates. The first Nityananda Prabhu, Jagarananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, and Mukundatat. So they started the journey from Navadvip, Mayapur, and on the way to Jagannath Puri, they come to the first place is Remuna village, where the Kirchur Gopinath, and when actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had darshan, he was in ecstasy. He started dancing and jumping, and then actually he had prasadam of kheer from that temple. And then he heard the story about actually Kichor Gopinath from Ishwar Puri about Madhavendra Puri. And he repeated that story here in Jagannath Puri with his associates. Then from there, actually, he went further and came to Cuttack. There is a small village. There is a Sakshi Gopal. And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of separation from the Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, when he came to Sakshi Gopal, again, actually, he was in ecstasy and started dancing. And this time, instead of he's telling the story about the Sakshi Gopal, Nityananda Prabhu actually recited the whole story. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he was actually sitting and he was listening this, releasing this pastime of Sakshi Gopal. Then further they went and they came to a river where Nityananda Prabhu actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually taken sannyas of carrying the danda. And Nityananda Prabhu, what is this? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually beyond all these things. Why he's carrying the danda? That doesn't suit actually him. He's the Supreme Personality of God. He's Krishna himself. So without telling him, he just took the danda and broke it and threw it in this river. And that river is called now Dandabhanga River. So he came to that actually there the past time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry that what have you done? Why did you do this? And he was not very happy with actually Nityananda Prabhu. This is again the past time. And then he said, look, we're going to Jagannath Puri. You decide either you go or I'll go first. But I don't want to go with you, please. So then actually Mukundatat Prabhu said, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, you go in the front and we follow you. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is started journey from there to coming to Jagannath Puri. And he was literally running because he wanted to come. He wanted to take darshan of Jagannath. He was running and running. And he was thinking that actually I will embrace Jagannath. I will have a beautiful darshan. And in that mood, he was just running and running. And when he came to Jagannath Puri, he couldn't believe. He saw Jagannath from the far and he was in ecstasy. He started actually dancing and jumping. And he wanted to run to Jagannath and embrace. Halfway through, he came and he just collapsed. Because actually he was in so much ecstasy of love of Krishna, love of God, love of Jagannath. He collects himself. While all these things happen, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was watching the whole episode. What exactly happened? He saw that a very young, very handsome, very effulgent sannyasi is just arrived. And actually he was actually going to actually, he didn't know that he was going to embrace, but he was going towards the Jagannath, and halfway through he collapsed. So he was watching all this thing. Again, this is the pastime, this is the whole arrangement. So when he saw that, then actually he realized that there are some, the police, the guard, with a stick. They were running to chase him up, actually beat him up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and throw him out from there. He realized that before they do anything wrong, he jumped, he ran, and he stopped those police guard, that please don't do anything. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually is a Mayavadi philosopher, very expert, and he has a very good influence in Jagannath Puri. He was just staying very close by. So when the guard actually, they heard that actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is stopping them, so they just actually walked away. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually worried that, is he okay? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is okay, he's still there, he's with us. He didn't know who that sannyasi was, but actually, by looking his appearance, by looking at actually his smartness, by looking at actually his love for the God, by looking at actually the effulgence coming out from his body, he knew that actually this person is not just ordinary person, he's a very great devotee. So in India, this is what actually, when person get actually unconscious, people normally do three things. I'm from India, I know how they do. First thing, actually, they take one cotton bud, very tiny, and put near the nostril and see whether is there any movement. Very tiny air, the cotton bud will move, and then you know that actually. So he took the cotton bud and put it there, and there was a movement. He said, yes, he's okay. The second thing in India they do, I know it's not with, for us, but they take the onion, they don't cut it, they actually smash it like this, and then they put near the nose, because onion smell is so strong, even person is unconscious, he come back again, because of the smell. And the third thing they do, they take actually mustard seed, they crush it, and they put actually in the little cloth, we call the potli, and actually that actually put near the nose again. And because of that very sharp, strong smell, person come back. So actually, they done this too. And then he said, okay, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his own. So he decided to take him to his house. Now he carried him to his house. And he was wondering what to do. He was waiting. Meantime, his associates, Nityananda Prabhu and all other associates, actually they came to Jagannath Puri. And there were devotees, actually the public, they were talking that actually there was a sannyasi came here, and actually when he went near the Jagannath deity, and halfway through he collapsed on the floor, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually he picked him up with some help, and he took him to his house. So then they came to know that actually, okay, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in trance, and this many times they happened, that they knew exactly what to do. So let's go. So they found out where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was living, and then actually they went there. When they went there, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was still unconscious. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was unconscious. The Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya welcomed all of them. He offered actually a water and all these things. Then he told that, why don't you go and take darshan of Jagannath? I'll arrange that. And when you come back, hopefully by that time, he should be okay. So they went for the darshan. They came back. And when they came back, actually, Nityananda Prabhu said, okay, I know the remedy. To bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu back with us, I got a remedy. And he said, okay. So he started kirtan very loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And as soon as actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually heard this kirtan, he actually woke up and started dancing with them. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually amazed to see that actually just by listening this to Mahamantra, he just actually, you know, came back and started. And again he was actually collapsing. Again, he was actually starting kirtan. this is how actually he came back. And then actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, why don't you all freshen up yourself and I will arrange prasadam. This time, actually, the Gopinath Acharya, he's actually relative of, I think he's brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that, how fortunate you are that actually, you know, this is Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is actually Krishna himself, and you have an opportunity to serve him. How fortunate you are. Well done. And he said, hold on. What are you talking about? I can understand. He's a very handsome, very nice sannyasi. He got actually really love for God. You know, I can see the actually effulgence coming out from his actually, you know, whole body. He's not just ordinary person. He's a very great devotee. But don't tell me he's Krishna. In Kali Yuga, actually, there is no such a thing, Krishna. So actually, you know, Gopinath Acharya was a little upset. And that meantime, they all came back, they had prasadam. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was actually advising that actually you shouldn't go on your own to the temple. You should take someone. And then actually he said, you are a very nice sannyasi, very young. You know, what is your dharma is? He said, Vedanta Sravane e Sanyasiya Dharma. Nirantara Karatumi Vedanta Sravana. And your dharma actually is to actually listen the Vedanta. You, that is your dharma. You just, and from just professional speaker who actually knows about the Vedanta, you should listen that actually thing from him all the time. That is the sannyasi dharma. It's the same thing, if you rewind back, the same thing Prakashananda Saraswati, actually another Mayavadi philosopher, told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very exactly same instruction. The Vedanta Pathan Dhyana Sanyasir Dharma Taha Chadikar Keme Bhavukera Karma. That this is a religion, this is actually your dharma. To listen Vedanta from the scholar. Prakashananda Saraswati was actually calling himself a scholar of Vedanta. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was calling himself a scholar. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, now you're saying that I should actually listen to I should perform my dharma, listen to Vedanta. And I heard. Look at the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I heard that you are a very scholar on Vedanta. And who is better than actually you I can listen to? So please, can you recite actually Vedanta? I want to listen from you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is asking some Mayavadi philosopher to recite. And the reason behind it. Actually, one thing we have to know, actually I come to know, that if you want to see Krishna, you should see the Krishna with the eye of the devotee. If the person who knows about the Krishna, only then you can see the Krishna through his eye. Otherwise, even Krishna will stand in front of you, even talk to you. You won't know. One time, actually, there was one person, he was living in the village. There was a hill next to his house. And it was so much rain that actually, it was going to flood. So every time, everybody actually fled from there. They gone away and went on top of the hill. So everyone, they were calling him that, why didn't you come? Water is going to come, it's so much rain. And a flood is, you know, the coming this way, within no time, it will be all flooded and he will die. Please come. And he said, no, my Krishna will come to pick me up. Then meantime, there were actually some person came. He said, Babaji, let's go. The water is coming and is going to actually take over the whole area. Everybody's on the hill. Come with me. I'll take you on the hill. He said, no, my Krishna will come to pick me up. Then actually water started coming, rising. So he went on the first floor. Then the boatman came and he said, Babaji, please, can you come with me? I'll take you on top of the hill. He said, no, my Krishna will come. Then actually water was rising. It came to the second floor. And then he went on the balcony there on the terrace. The helicopter came. He said, Babaji, the water is still rising. Any minute, actually, this is going to all go. Please come. I'll take you on top of the hill. All the people are there waiting. He said, no, my Krishna will come. My God will come. Then it's eventually he died. So when he went to Krishna, he said, why didn't you come to pick me up? I had so much faith on you. I was telling everyone. Krishna said, I came. When actually before the water coming, I came, he said, please come, I'll take you. He didn't come. Then second time, actually, I came on the first floor with the boat. He said, come with me. He said, no, I won't come. I'll wait for my God. And then I came with the helicopter to pick you up. Still he refused. So because actually, no, if you don't know Krishna, then actually to know Krishna, you have to have actually devotee. That's why actually guru is very important. Without guru, you can't get the knowledge. Without guru, you can't get Krishna. You can't go to Krishna. I was very amazed when in the beginning I used to come to the temple 32 years back, that devotees to go to Prabhupada first, and then they go to Krishna. And I was actually, then why are they going to Srila Prabhupada first? They should go to actually, why are they going to this old man? They should go to Krishna, he's over there. Why are they coming here first? But then I realized that actually, guru bina gyan kaise, how can you get knowledge without guru? So it's important that guru should be there. And here, the same thing, that actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually didn't understand. And he was telling, giving the instruction that your duty is to actually listen Vedanta Sutra. Then he started. And it happened that actually he gave the asana is little higher than him. He was sitting on the floor and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was naturally sitting on the high. That is the arrangement. The Supreme Personality should be actually seated on the high platform. And we are all supposed to be on the, but that's naturally happened. He was sitting, actually, there is a beautiful photo there where actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was sitting on the floor and he was reciting the Vedanta Sutra. For seven days, he was actually talking not an hour. We give class and actually if it's more than even 10, 20 minutes, people start actually looking the time at least 10 times within that half an hour, 10 times the devotee will look the watch. Oh, don't tell me it's only 8 o'clock, another actually 20, half an hour to go. Then don't tell me it's only 5 past 8. Don't tell me it's only 10 past 8. Because when you watch the time goes very slow. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the whole day he was listening. For 7 days, in actually just sit down like this, no expression on the face. Normally, if you don't understand, we make some expression. And if you understand, we make another expression very joyfully. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without any expression, was listening and listening and listening. And 7 days gone. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya couldn't resist anymore. On the 8th day, he said, Sannyasi, for 7 days, I have recited actually this Vedanta Sutra to you. I was explaining to you. I don't see any expression on your face. I don't know whether actually yes or no, whether you understand or you don't understand, or if you are confused, you are not even asking any question. Do you really understand what I'm saying? Mahaprabhu said, you just told me my dharma is to listen to Vedanta Sutra and you are reciting and I'm listening. But the only problem is I know Vedanta Sutra is, but your commentary, I didn't understand at all. It doesn't make any sense to me. I tell you, to me, that was the biggest insult of someone, not just ordinary. If someone come to me and said, Adam, you know, Prabhu, I don't know actually what you talked about today. I will be very upset. I said, don't tell me. I spent so much time to prepare, and now you're telling me, so please, I would go to even Paris, go to the, you know, this this tower, the biggest, tallest tower, the highest I can go, and I will jump myself. That how can you do this? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely, he told, that actually, I know Vedanta, sir, but whatever your commentary, I didn't understand. Then he started actually putting some argument, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually defeating all his argument. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about actually Krishna's energy, Antaranga energy, Bahiranga energy, and a Tatastha energy. Antaranga is his internal energy, Sat Chid Ananda Swarup Sakti. He talked about that. Then he talk about Bahiranga, that is external energy, Maya Sakti, that confuses the Jiva all the time. Then he talked about Tatastha Sakti, the marginal energy, Jiva Sakti, how we are actually separated from the God. He talked about then he told that there are two things we have to understand, Maya this and Maya was. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a Maya this. And we are Jiva, is a Maya was. He is a controller, and we are under him. The Jiva is always under the Maya this, under control of Krishna. And that's why we never become a Krishna. We never become a God. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, actually, when he addressed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was a Mayavadi philosopher, they think that actually I am a God, you are God, and everyone God, Narayan. So when they greet each other, they said, Om Namo Narayana. And the other person said, Om Namo Narayana. Means you are Narayan, I'm Narayan, and we respect each other. Means everyone is Narayan, everyone is God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just told that we are Jiva. That's why he explained about actually the energy, the different energy. But when actually he said actually Om Namo Narayana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually replied, Krishna Matir Astu. He said, Krishna Matir Astu. As soon as actually Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard this, he came to know, this is our Vaishnava. That's why actually he's saying Krishna Matir Astu. He didn't reply to him as Om Namo Narayana. So this is actually Krishna was actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him, and then he came to the today's point is Omkar. That Krishna was talking about Omkar. What is Omkar? So let me just talk first where the Omkar came. One time, Vishnu wanted to lie down on the ocean. And Ananta said, he said, oh, Vishnu, actually, my Lord is going to lie down. Let me make the bed. And he made the bed himself. And with his head, he covered so nothing will come in between. Vishnu was lying down. Lakshmiji actually started massaging his feet. There's a beautiful photo there. And from his navel, there's a beautiful stem came up. He's going up and up and up and up, gone so high. On top of that stem, there's a beautiful flower. Lotus flower came. And within the lotus flower, Brahmaji, the first creature, the first personality on this planet, he appeared there. Brahmaji was thinking himself, who am I? Why I'm here? What I'm supposed to do? What is this? Who brought me here? He was actually thinking about this. Then he saw there was a stamp that was actually coming down. So he said, okay, let me go and check if I can find anything. So he's climbing down on the stamp. He was coming down and down and down and down. He couldn't reach the bottom. He got frightened. So he quickly came back again on the top. Now he was wondering what to do. And then he heard the water driplet from the chili's top dripping somewhere down, and it was making noise. Tapa, tip, tip, tip. It sounded like a tapa, tapa, tapa. In English, we call meditation. So he started meditating on this. While he was meditating, the first sound he heard, the first we can call either the syllables, whether we can the word, or we can call the prayers, or whether we call actually any flow, that is, Om. That is the first Brahmaji heard. And he thought, could be this is the indication. So that is Krishna in the form of sound. So that means Om and Krishna, there is no difference. That is Krishna. So Brahmaji actually started meditating on Om. And then he heard the beautiful, he saw actually the beautiful place. Beautiful place, and he while he was actually enjoying that actually beauty of that place, within that place the beautiful personality came, started playing the venu, the flute, and when he heard that flute, he got very bewildered, and he said he couldn't believe that what he was, while he was actually taking this beautiful darshan of Krishna, he compiled actually one prayer. That prayer actually is called Brahma Samhita. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually didn't write anything apart from 8 slok, 6 astakam, that 8 slok, apart from that, he didn't write anything. So when he came across with actually this Brahma Samhita, there was a copy there. So he, when he read that, he said, this is our essence of Bhagavatam. The whole essence actually is given in this Brahma Samhita, especially chapter 5. So Brahma actually that compiled that prayers. And so then actually the question comes, then actually, why can't we just chant this Om, Om, Om? Why are we chanting the Maha Mantra? But then actually we have a 4 yoga. Satya Yoga was the lifespan on the Satya Yoga. People have 100,000 years. And to self-realization, there was the process that one has to meditate on Vishnu. Sit down. They used to sit down and meditate for 10,000 years, 20,000 years, because the lifespan was 100,000 years. So for 10,000, they just actually, you know, sit down and meditate. That was the process for the self-realization. Then Treta Yuga, the lifespan reduced to 10,000 years. And the process for the self-realization was sacrifice. Sacrifice means actually you perform the yajna, and not ordinary yajna, the very opulent yajna. We don't have that facility. So now we come to the Dwapara Yuga. The lifespan is reduced from Satya Yuga, 100,000 to 10,000, to only 1,000 years in the Dwapara Yuga. And the process for the self-realization is deity worship. People used to deity worship to please Krishna. And then we come to the Kali Yuga. Now we are in the Kali Yuga. And the lifespan is maximum 100 years. Can you see? The lifespan is reducing, reducing. It came to now only 100 years. And they say that actually the lifespan will go down to 20 years. But because that is not happening, because now there is a Harinam Sankirtan going across the globe. That's why every the Kali Yuga is on hold. So this is why in a Kali Yuga, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. This in Kali Yuga, the Krishna is came in the his name. And that's why actually we chant the name the Krishna has given us. The Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's why actually we're chanting this mantra. Now, when Brahmaji actually compiled this prayer, Brahma Samhita, the first thing he said, Ishvara Param Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adri Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. That Ishwar, that's Govinda, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are the primal God. You have eternal, blissful, spiritual body. Sachid Ananda. That the, you are the three potency. The present potency, the potency of eternity, and the potency of knowledge. You are everything. And you are the cause of all cause. Sarva Karana Karana. When he saw Krishna, he just actually started prayers this way. And then he said, Chintamani Prakara Sadma Sukal Praviksha Laksha Vite Susurabhi Abhipala Yantam Lakshmi Sahasya Satasambaram Savyamanam Govinda Madhipurusam Samaham Prajami. Chintamani, touchstone, that whatever you touch, that thing become very opulent. Like a touchstone, if you touch the metal, ordinary metal become actually gold. And that touchstone is not actually one tiny piece. The whole place is made out of touchstone. Imagine. One tiny touchstone can make actually the metal gold, but this is the whole area was made of Chintamani. Then Kalpa Vriksha is a desire tree. If you want to actually offer Krishna mango, you just desire that I want to offer mango. I want to offer Alfonso, the king of the mango. You just can pluck the mango and offer it to Krishna. If you want to offer an apple, you just desire the, on the same tree, Kalpa Vriksha, the desire tree, you can pluck the apple or oranges or banana or lychees. Whatever fruit you desire, you can pluck from the same tree. That tree, not only one tree. The whole jungle means actually just trees after trees after trees. In the jungle, you don't see anything apart from the big, big trees. And all these big trees, they are Kalpa Vriksha. And then Brahmaji is saying that Surbhi, the cow called Surbhi cow. I don't know how many of you know Surbhi cow. I'll tell you one story. There was one Vasishtha Muni, one sadhu was Vasishtha Muni. He was in the jungle, little hut, and he had one the daughter of Surbhi, cow. He gave the name Nandini. So he had that Nandini and he was living very comfortably, meditating on Krishna, on Govinda. One time, Vishwamitra, the king, they have actually habit that actually that one of the habit, they go for hunting in the jungle. And when they go, they take the whole entourage. So many, they carry those, so many when the army comes, because actually they stay overnight places. So he came with so many army and so many people. The king came, was hunting, and he came across with this sadhu, Vasishtha Muni. So Vasishtha Muni was so pleased to see the king, that the king, you are in my little hut. Thank you very much. How can I serve you? Actually, I can want him. Why don't you go and freshen up yourself? Like in India, the custom when actually before you take prasadam, you go and you take bath, freshen up yourself, and then you take prasadam. I remember my Guru Maharaj used to come so often, and he was staying with me. And the first thing he comes, take bath. Doesn't matter where he's traveling from, whether he's traveling from Europe an hour only, or traveling for 8 or 10 hours the distance. First, take bath, do the Gayatri, and then he'll say, okay, I'll take prasadam. Or he said, I'll take rest. So here, Vishwamitra king actually went, freshen up himself, and he was wondering on the way that actually, you know, this sadhu is going to offer some feast, some arrangement. He's a sadhu, there is nothing in the jungle. What we'll get? We get some kandamur, like some roots and fruit we may get. I don't know whether that is enough, because we have so many people here. So he was wondering like this, and he came, and when he came, he was amazed to see that actually everything was actually placed so nicely. All the plates, the cups, the spoon, the bowl, everything is made out of gold. He was amazed, and not only for the king, not only for his little entourage, but the whole army. Everything, they had the same golden plate, golden spoon, golden cups, golden bowls. So he was amazed. How did he manage this? He was thinking about this. Then he saw with the Vasishtha Muni said, please, king, can you sit down and honor the prasadam, please? So he sat down, and when he saw the preps, the amount of preps was there, he couldn't believe that so many preps. And when he tasted that prasadam, he never tasted this sort of prasadam in his life. So when he finished, he asked the king, the sadhu, that Vasishtha Muni, can you tell me, how did you manage? You are living in this little hut. There is nothing. There is no storage. There is nothing there. How did you manage this opulent prasadam in this opulent plate, all the cutlery? Where did you get this? He said, I have a cow called Nandini. That's my daughter. And whatever I desire, I get it from that cow. King said, sadhu, you are a sadhu. You are living in the hut. You are living in the jungle. Why do you need this Nandini? Why didn't you give it to me? Because actually I am a king and I need it more than you. Please give me. He said, sadhu said, I can give you anything, but I can't give you my daughter. I can't live without my daughter. So he said, okay, if you don't give me, by forcefully I will take. So they started taking forcefully the Nandini. Nandini said, cried to her father, that, come on, you're my father, and these people are by forcefully taking me away, and you can't do anything for me, for your daughter? He says, sorry, my daughter, I'm just an ordinary sadhu. I'm not there to fight with anyone. Please forgive me. I can't do anything. So he said, why don't you just give me the permission that I can do, I can protect myself? He said, okay, I'll give you the permission. You can protect yourself. When he said that, Nandini immediately produced a bigger army than actually the king had, and he defeated the whole army. This is just one daughter of Surbhi. And Brahmaji is saying, there are thousands and thousands of cow there. They all actually Surbhi cow. So this is what actually Brahmaji is explaining. Now we saying that actually Krishna doesn't have a form. Then actually further he's saying, Venu Kananta Marvinda Dalaya Taksam. I won't go through the whole thing because the time is running. So he's saying that Krishna, the flute, so beautiful when Krishna played the flute. He saw Krishna with a beautiful lotus eye, the beautiful body of Krishna, the beautiful hand, the beautiful flute, Venu, that he was holding, and he was playing that Venu. And when he was playing that Venu, that flute, everybody get bewildered. Even the gopis, they used to just leave everything behind. They used to leave their husband behind. They used to leave their mother and father behind. They used to leave their even children, crying children behind, to run after that Venu, that flute where the sound coming from. That is actually the Venu. And Krishna is playing that Venu. And he explained that how beautiful Krishna is. Now, this is explains the person who actually first time seen Krishna. And here he's saying that actually Krishna doesn't have a form. The Mayavadi philosophy is nirakar. And they think you are God, I am God. Om Namo Narayana. What is this nonsense? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained all to him that look, this is the Vedanta Sutra. Your commentary is like actually monsoon cloud covering the sky. Your commentary is covering the real purpose, the real essence of the Vedas. That is a speculation. That is your theory. That is your mundane theory. The Vedanta doesn't need anything to explain. Vedanta in itself actually just is like actually sun. When the sun is shining, the rays of the sun just naturally come out. So when Vedanta is there, the Vedanta actually, the potency just come out, just like that. And you have to just meditate on that one. Don't interpret the way you want. Be present the way it is. That's why actually Srila Prabhupada gave the Bhagavad Gita as it is. The Bhagavad Gita as it is, the way Krishna spoke, word to word, exactly the meaning of this. And he said, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that you are covering. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he heard all these things, he was actually amazed to hear this. He never experienced this sort of thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so kind, so merciful. He saw him, who he was. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he had a darshan, he bowed down. He surrendered. And he said, all this time, I was actually in the influence that actually I know everything. I know the Vedanta Sutra. But it was like a mirage in the desert. I was thinking that there is a water, but the water was not there. I was thinking that actually I knew the Vedanta Sutra. I know inside out. I am the scholar. I was in an illusion. But now I come to know that actually I do not have no knowledge. I was actually in total darkness. I come in the front of the sun now, and that rays is going to make me brighter. So please be merciful. He surrendered. And when he surrendered, all the associates, especially Gopinath Acharya, he was so pleased because he had a wonderful exchange with, he was telling this is Krishna, he was not believing. But now when he actually heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's commentary on Vedanta, when he saw Krishna himself, he was so pleased. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually delivered. This is actually only, I'm stopping here. Further actually, when we saying that actually Om Namo Narayana, and there the further part is coming, you are the everything, and that means it's I am everything, you are everything. That is coming the next. I won't go into that one. I'll leave that for the next speaker. So I think I started with actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's journey from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri. Then actually on the way, actually he turned some pastime. Then he came to Jagannath Puri. He actually fainted. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually carried him, done some service, and then he heard Vedanta Sutra from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't understand. He told actually you covering the real meaning of the, and then he explained all his energy, and then he explained what is actually Vedanta Sutra. Then he was so kind, he gave him the darshan of Krishna, and that's how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was liberated from this material world. So I think I did go a little more. I was told that by 8:40, we must close. I should finish actually before that to give some time if there is any comment. In Hindi, they call tippani. Any comment, any correction, or any question, I will try my best to tackle any question. Thank you very much again.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for this narration, taking us on the journey of Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri and revealing the pastime again. It's like always when you hear it, it's so pleasurable. So thank you very much for that. We don't have any questions on the chat by now. So please, dear devotees, if you have any more questions, then put it in the chat. I had one question, if I could ask it.
Please.
It's about Omkara, like you were speaking about how Brahma actually was meditating on the word, on the syllables tapa, and then meditating on Om, and then eventually on Krishna himself, his flute playing. So I was wondering, is that from the Brahma Samhita? Because I have not read it, but I just know from the ninth chapter in the second canto, there it's described that Brahma was meditating on tapa and not further, like there's no further explanations on that.
I tell you, this narration actually I heard from my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhaktacharu Maharaj. He gave the wonderful energy of about the Omkar. So I don't know personally whether it is where, but when actually the Guru speaking is very authoritative, and they don't speak anything apart from the actually Shastra. So must be somewhere in the Shastra. I didn't dig into this because I totally accepted that whatever he said is the ultimate truth. And that's why I presented the same thing actually previous in the manner. I presented the same thing again, that actually what is Omkar and where it's coming from.
Thank you, Bro. Yeah, that's obviously like a good explanation, and I can feel the faith in your Guru Maharaj. That's very nice. So, but then again, the question that I had also is sometimes we hear that people say Omkara is the sound of the universe. And it's the first sound. So, but in our rendition, actually, tapa came before, right? So can you maybe go into this?
Regarding to that, actually, I tell you one thing, because there was not much time, so I was not actually going into that. One time, actually, I was in India for 4 years. My Guru Maharaj asked me to go and serve one temple in Ujjain, that is in Madhya Pradesh, middle part of the India. Ujjain, actually, Guru Maharaj actually built one beautiful ISKCON temple. So he wanted me to go and serve there. So I went there. That time, actually, I was doing yoga. And in the yoga, every day, for a few minutes in the beginning and a few minutes at the end, we were just chanting, Om. That actually sound coming from your navel all the way through the heart. And it sounds so beautiful. So, and then at the end, we are doing Om, Santi, Santi, Santi. So I asked the teacher, the yoga teacher, why do we chant this Om? And he explained, that may answer your question. He explained that actually, you know, the Om, when you chant from your navel and coming up to your heart and coming out from your mouth, it sounds so beautiful. It sounds like it coming from your heart and is so soothing. It's calming the whole nervous system of your body. And I tell you, I have experience. It is true. The whole nervous system, if you are actually agitating and if you have some problem, if you just sit down and just meditate, Om, you can see when we recite so many sloka in before, we always say Om Tat Sat, Om this, Om Namo Narayana. Even they say Om Namo Narayana. they always say Om first. So Om is a word. When you recite from your navel especially and meditate on that one, that will calm the whole nervous system. So if the yoga teacher was saying that actually to cool down your body, to meditate, to concentrate your mind even. If you chant this Omkar in the beginning, your whole body, your whole nervous system, your mind will be actually very calm down. And then you are ready to meditate. You are ready for your devotional service. So, yes, Om is there, is none different than Krishna, but that Om will actually calm down your body. Your mind will be actually very relaxed. And in the relaxed form, if you chant your Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is one way. But actually Krishna is saying that even if you just chant only Hare Krishna, you don't need even Om to calm down. The Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that actually whatever the Om can do, the Hare Krishna mantra actually will calm your nervous system down. Your whole mind will be controlled by this. So yes, that's why actually we meditate on this Hare Krishna mantra only in this Kali Yuga.
Thank you, Guru. Beautiful explanation. We have one more question. Maybe we can answer it shortly. That from Roberto Prabhu, he says, Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. Why people have the need to interpret the Vedas and Shastras and not taking it as it is? It sounds much easier just to take it as it is, but it looks like it's much harder in practice.
Everybody is looking for actually the name and fame. If I know a few verses of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or any Sanskrit word, any Sanskrit slok, even I can make the slok. Yeah, if I know some Sanskrit word, I can make slok myself. And I present to the public. Now the general public, they don't have understanding of Sanskrit or anything about actually the Vedas or Puranas, anything about God. And if I present them and then they will appreciate, wow, Radha Vino, you know the Sanskrit, you know the Vedas, you know the everything about Krishna. And then slowly, then what I say, yes, I know. You know why I know? Because I am a God. There are so many God now. So then I introduce myself, God, and then from there I can earn a lot of money. People will just, I'm God. Oh, yes, you are God. They will offer anything left, right, and center. I know there is one top actor in India. People are doing the aarti to him by name, saying his name and doing the aarti. People want this, the name and fame. People want to make money, earn money in easy way. That's why actually, that's Mayavadi philosophy. Om Namo Narayana. That you are Narayan, I'm Narayan. I'm God, you are God. Why don't you? I like to be a God if I can get God just like that. But because of they don't have understanding. So that's why people want to make name, fame, and earn money. And that's why there are so many God. There are this God, there are that God. I don't know whether you have seen the Abhay Charan. That is, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj made this beautiful life of Srila Prabhupada. And in the beginning, there is one Falgu Baba, that actually he was doing all these things and telling everyone, I'm God. You don't have to worship any Krishna. You don't have to worship Ram. Or you don't have to worship anyone. You worship me. I'm God. There are so many God like that. So because of that, actually, people want to be name and fame, and they just call themselves and earn money. That's why it's very important that you go to the person who knows about Vedanta, who and a devotee, especially Hare Krishna devotees, they know, they are actually there they are there to give the intelligence, they give the knowledge to the general public that who is really God, what is Vedanta. And if they come to these people, definitely they will know that who is the Supreme Personality, really Godhead. And if it's like that, then actually I don't think so even Srila Prabhupada has to come and tell us But because actually the Mayavadi philosopher, they came and they told so many different, they confused people. That's why Srila Prabhupada came and to give us intelligence that who is really God, who is really Supreme Personality of God, who is Krishna. And he explained to us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you. I think that's clear. And so we come to a natural end.